Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. Glad you could all join us here on the show. And what a show it is going to be, because our Houston Texans, what, came up with a big play, Lance. They had to have that pass. CJ, what a beautiful throw and a great catch by Nico, getting the job done in the final minutes. That's a play that we haven't seen a lot of in the history of this organization. A play that they had to have, and Nico and CJ make the play, and they made plays all day long. Man, Joe Mixon, Stephon Diggs, other than three big plays by Indianapolis, the defense played great. It was a little too close at the end, but that was a nice way to start the season.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I wouldn't diminish the three big plays. They were massive plays. Frankly, I mean, you've got to do a better job on Alec Pierce and the jump ball and stuff like that, just because, I mean, it really shouldn't have been close. You dominated them on the ground. The offensive line did a phenomenal job. They were really – I mean, Joe Mixon was great. The offensive line gave him room to move. You notice that he was through the offensive line. He was through the line of scrimmage without contact on most of his carries. So it's not like he was having to create for himself at the line of scrimmage. He had holes. There were gaps there. They did a great job up front of run blocking, especially Kenyon Green, who we'll talk about later. But, you know, just like you said, John, it was a winning performance when you needed, you know, you had some things that didn't go your way from the jump ball type stuff. But think about this. Fourth down call, you had Kyme Fairbairn kicking 350-yard field goals. That's huge. Then you have a fourth down play where you go for it and get a touchdown, which I thought was D'Amico Ryan showing, hey, we're not going to go up by five. We need to go up by two scores. And I thought that was a ballsy call, and I know you did too based on your tweet. But at the same time, I thought it was a winning call. Like, it's a winning football call. It's a guy who has a lot of confidence in his team. And we've seen – I would venture, John, that every coach the Texans have had, maybe save Lovey, maybe, but not Lovey, because he's the one that punted that one time. Punted in the first game against the Colts the first time around when we saw him. No, every coach that the Texans have had would have probably kicked the field goal. Maybe O'Brien would have gone for it, but everyone else would
have kicked a field goal.
Gary would have, Dom would have kicked the field goal. There's no doubt about it. And D'Amico said, nah, you know what? Now, those guys didn't have C.J. Stroud, and they didn't have Stephon Diggs. Of course, they did have Andre Johnson, but I just know this much. They needed a good play on two-point play. They got it. They needed to stop the Colts on the two-point play. They stopped them. Just like you said, every time they needed something, other than some jump ball big plays that, you know, I don't know, we're going to have to debate whether they're in a fluky or whether they're things to be concerned about in the future. But every time they needed something, they got it. Every time. All right, so I think we've got to get John back here in a second. I was extremely, extremely pleased with what I saw in the first game. There are going to be things that are a concern, but I think the things that I'm most concerned about, which was offensive line play, how would the Texans, going into this game, these were my concerns. How would the Texans hold up against the Colts rush? It was a little dicey in the first half. Remember now, the Colts have spent a lot of first-round picks and a lot of money on DeForest Buckner, Latu, Kwity-Paye. They gave a first for Buckner. They picked Kwity-Paye in the first round. They drafted Latu in the first round. They just gave Grover Stewart, defensive tackle, a bunch of money. The Colts put a lot of money into their pass rush. The Texans have put a lot of money and draft picks into their offensive line. I thought from a pass pro standpoint, it could be better at protecting CJ, but I thought it did get a little better in the second half. But the thing to me that I was most pleased with is the absolute brutality of the running game. That the Texans did a fantastic job of getting up to the second level, putting body on body. I thought Kenyon Green did a really good job. I thought that Shaq Mason did a good job. But Joe Mixon, there was not, John, there was not one single bit of hesitation from Joe Mixon. I mean, it was plant and go, and he has the elusiveness that Damian Pierce didn't have last year. Then he has the violence through contact that Devin Singletary simply doesn't have due to his body type. That's what was – I mean, we saw a running back who's built for this. Now, what a pitch count he was on. They went 30 carries in the first game of the year. 30 carries is high for any week. 30 carries for Joe Mixon. And somebody complained about, well, you know, we – shouldn't they be giving Damian Pierce the ball more? They're going to break him down. And I thought, look, I didn't do anything in preseason. He was, you know, he's – if there's ever a time that you might as well go ahead and get 30 carries on the books, yeah, it's week one.
Yeah, but even Damian Pierce looked okay with the offensive,
yeah,
offensive line was blocking.
He did.
I mean, he looked like a different guy. Yeah, listen, you open up those holes the way that they did. You just got to give it up for that offense. I thought the offensive line was probably the most valuable player.
I did too.
Yep. I mean, they just Laramie Tunsil is a false start machine.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, first play
first
of the season.
Was it the first play?
Yeah, very first play.
Oh, my gosh.
Laramie Tunsil with a false start. But here we go. Here we go again. But, listen, hey, they did a great job. CJ was under a little bit of pressure.
Yeah,
he was. Game. Yeah, but, you know, that's Colts defensive line. It's really, really good. Okay,
and yeah.
they got some players up there. But still, CJ did a great job. And the way that they – I don't know that I've ever seen have they ever run block like this? I mean,
well, yeah.
They've had big plays.
They did with – I mean, they did with
Arian
Foster, but it's been a long time.
But it has been a long time since they played like this, running the ball, dominating time of possession, 40 minutes to 20 minutes. I mean, everything about it. The only thing – that you really – you just got to make sure that you don't give up three big plays the way that they
did. Yeah, and you got to be upset about not covering the spread.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, Alec – well, the first one, Stingley's on him, and he's got help from Jimmy Ward, and he still beat him. He
mm-hmm.
still beat both of those guys.
Yeah, Pierce
and
can
Jimmy
roll.
Ward, Jimmy Ward is more a banger than a center fielder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that that's his spot, but if he's going to bang all day long, I don't know how long he's going to be on
the
field. No,
that's got to be Sting. That's got to be Sting making, you know, running stride for stride with him. Stingley
yeah.
had some weird stuff going on. He got beat by A.D. Mitchell, seemed to be confused on coverage or something.
Well, I don't know. It looked like he was playing zone.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And, yeah, and Shaiir is back there, and that's a mismatch.
But it can't be zone. I mean, there was no help back there. It had to be man because
yeah,
who the hell would be – they weren't in deep split safety looks, so
yeah.
I don't know what that was about. Luckily, you know, let's also look at this. Luckily, Richardson overthrew some long touchdowns too.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely.
I mean, he completed some. That's what gives me pause on Texans coverage. I'm like, huh. I'm going to go back and look at it. I think I get my tape today. I'm going to go look at everything that was going on. But no doubt, you got to cut back on those big plays because if you do. As you mentioned, the 40 to 20, the run game, the third down conversions, the time of possession, like everything about that to me should have been Texans win that game handily. That should have been a cover. What a disappointing loss against the spread that was.
Now listen, you say that sucked. They dominated that
mm-hmm.
game. And they don't cover 2.5.
No.
That sucked. Okay, I had that. I had a bloodbath yesterday. Uh-huh. I had the Titans that were winning the whole game.
Oh, my gosh.
And they end up losing.
Caleb Williams was terrible.
I had the Cardinals.
But you saw what Will Levis. Did you see the Will Levis play?
Yes, I saw the
Oh, my
play.
Gosh.
Who do you think has Bears defense?
Oh, well, that was bittersweet for you on Titans, but you got the Bears defense.
I'm winning fantasy because of it, and I'm losing all my bets because of it. But I
Will Levis just shoveled a pass. He was being sacked and just threw it up for grabs, total Davis Mills style, just flung it up there, and the Bears said, I guess we'll go pick six with this.
Thank you. Thank you. We will take it. It was, I took a beating yesterday, and I thought for sure I had the Texans. I'm for sure I'm on the right side of this.
They were the right side. And you think, we've got so much to get into, like what happened before the half ended. There's 3 points. It was just a free 3 points that were left on the field.
That was mind boggling. What in the hell are you doing? And CJ was even like, what are we doing? What the hell?
The confusion. I got to put D'Amico, I don't know if you saw John D'Amico at halftime. They interviewed him right after that happened.
He
put it on himself. He didn't make excuses.
No.
But the officials did a piss poor job of explaining what was going on. Dreadful.
They took away the timeout from the Colts.
And didn't say anything on the field about it.
And D'Amico thought he had the clock was stopped. Instead, it started to run. Even still, with that amount of time, even if it was 15 seconds, just kick the field goal.
I mean, if it's 15, that's one thing. But they knew it wasn't going to be 15. Just get up there. Yeah. So let's do this on the other side. When we get to the other side, we'll talk about that play because based on everything that we heard from the broadcast team as well, this is going to have to be addressed. The NFL is going to have to look into how the officials, Gene Steratore even said, if he had it to do all over again, he would have rather have said, hey, the clock will start. Like, there was a lot that the head official or umpire, whatever they call it, there was a lot he didn't say and he didn't do. There's no way you can't convince me he didn't handle that poorly.
Yep. We have got a full show. We want you guys to get in. Any thoughts that you have, thoughts about the Astros this weekend, you're more than welcome to do that. Wow. We got something to talk about with Verlander.
Yeah, we do.
That is for sure. And your call, 713-780-3776. And don't forget, we've got What Did You Learn This Weekend in One Sentence coming your way in about a half an hour. Right now, I'm talking about Chastang Ford. I'm talking about how much I love doing business with Chastang Ford. And listen, you're doing business with family. I'm telling you right now, one of the first things that they told me when they said, you know, we want you to do these spots, we want you to tell everyone to join the Chastang family. And that is what you feel like. You feel like you're getting a family deal. Unless your family is a little, you know, I don't know if your family's a little iffy and you don't want to do business with your family. I like doing business with my family. I love doing business with the Chastang family. You don't stay in business for 80-plus years unless you do it right. That immediately the first thing is, where do your payments have to be? That's awfully important because you don't want to be choked. If you're choking on your payments because you did a deal with a dealership, you're feeling like, wow, this is really a terrible, terrible deal for me. Well, you don't feel like that because you tell them right away where your payments have to be. They're not going to add on. They're not going to mark up. And even if you get your payments underneath where you needed to be, perfect, even better, because you feel even better about that deal. I feel great every time doing business with Chastang Ford, and you will too. They got great specials going on right now. You need to get there and find out for yourself. ChastangFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown. Chastang Ford.
It's Running Sports Radio Morning Show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Texans win it by two. 29-27 was your final. Got a little hairy at the end, but the Texans pulled through, ran the ball wonderfully. It was, I think, a lot what we expected, no? I mean, the Texans' unstoppable offense.
Like we talked about, like Tank is probably going to be the guy that's going to have some really big games and then some games like yesterday. I don't think all three of them are going to have big games at a time. You may have two out of three, but unfortunately for Tank and for – you know, fantasy. Although Tank had some, you know, he had some good plays. He had a couple good plays. But Stephon Diggs and Nico were the big guys yesterday. Two touchdowns for Stephon Diggs, over 100 yards receiving for. You're right. I mean, they scored on most of their possessions.
Yeah, it was awesome offensively, and defensively was great as well. Defensively, I thought that they were, other than the three big plays, I mean, okay, early in the game, Shane Steichen on fourth down throws a pass with Anthony Richardson. Look at the difference between the quarterbacks that you got there, the two of them. Fourth down, near the goal line. D'Amico, who did you want to have the ball in his hands? I hated the go for the two-point conversion play, just hand it off to Mixon. Let CJ make a play. You got the best player on the field. Let him decide what's going to happen with that play. And he did that on the fourth and two when they put the Texans up by nine. But when you're Shane Steichen early in the game with Anthony Richardson and you're throwing a 10-yard out on a fourth down, that was a ridiculous call.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. That's not – I mean, that's his issue. Richardson's just not a naturally accurate quarterback. And I thought that, you know, a zone read look there or just running it. I mean, just handing it, running over the left side with Quentin Nelson to me would have been a better decision to basically just pound the ball or to – you know, fake the dive and go running with big Anthony Richardson, who ended up scoring a touchdown late in the game when they decided to keep to go for it on fourth down and not kick the field goal there at the end of the game, the Colts. But for sure, I love that for them. I loved it for them to throw with Anthony Richardson, not for us. I mean, I'm sorry, I loved it for us, not for them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. 713-780-3776. Your thoughts on the game, on that game. You're more than welcome to get in. We also had the Astros that we've got to get into. Justin Verlander just isn't that guy right now. Justin Verlander, is this, we got a problem here?
Yeah.
With the,
I think we do. Oh, no, no, no. You're fine. I can hear you.
You're fine. There's just an echo when we speak. We can hear us through your channel double time. That's what I'm hearing.
Gotcha.
So we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll get it figured out. So Dell's just manipulating, but we can hear you fine. Yeah, we've got a Justin Verlander problem. I mean, so this is what Justin Verlander, if you missed it yesterday, Justin Verlander was wrapped like a nun in the 50s, smacking a kid on the hands. He was getting hit by the ruler nonstop. Three innings pitched, gave up eight hits, eight earned runs, two home runs, one walk, no strikeouts. In his return from injury, Justin Verlander has pitched 17 and two-thirds innings. He's given up 27 hits. He's given up 19 earned runs, three home runs. He has walked, let's see, two, three, nine, and struck out 12. I mean, he's lost all four. The team has lost all four of those. He's now 3-6 with an ERA and a 5. In games he starts, the Astros have lost 5 consecutive and 6 out of the last 7. And there's really no... The best you had was that Boston game where he went 5 innings, gave up 4 hits, 2 runs. He had 6 strikeouts and a walk. And you thought, okay, you know, Justin Verlander looks like he's maybe ready to go again. And then since then, it's just been not good. I mean, more hits than innings pitched. It's in his last 3 starts, John, he's only been able to go 12 and two-thirds, and he's given up 23 hits. I mean, just – this is a Justin Verlander problem at this point. He still has time to work it out, but, man, the unthinkable may happen where Justin Verlander has to get left off a playoff roster in the first round.
Well, he's got a little bit of time left, but not much. And, you move Blanco to the bullpen when, you know, you've got a possibility for a quality start there. Right now you got no chance. He's just throwing beach balls up there. You got to make a tough. You might have to make a tough decision. You've had to make a couple of tough decisions with Montero and Abreu, and you might have to make another tough decision with a guy that you thought was going to be. You thought when you got Abreu, you know he's going to be a former MVP.
Wait. Make a tough decision. We talk about putting Justin Verlander down.
We're not putting him down like old Yeller.
Well, DFA'd. You're not talking about DFA'ing him.
Not off the playoff roster. I mean, I guess you keep on going with him. I guess you do.
Yeah, it would be embarrassing. I mean,
no, you're not going to DFA him, but you don't have to start him.
I know. How embarrassing is that for him? You don't worry about embarrassing. You just worry about you're trying to win games. You're trying to win a pennant. You're trying to win a World Series. Justin Verlander currently does not give you a very good chance of doing any of those things.
Nothing. It's awful. And you have to do something about it because he's leaving every ball, it seems like, up in the zone, mm-hmm. and they're just crushing it. He used to remember, he'd give up, even at his best, he was giving up a home run, a bunch of home runs, but those guys would chase that high fastball and not be able to catch up a bunch. When they did catch up, they hit a home run, and that was fine. But they were solo homers, and he was still, his ERA was awesome. Now, everything he leaves up is getting destroyed, and you just can't do it. You just can't have it anymore, especially when you're in the middle of a race like you are. He can't feel good about this. I don't know. Next time he goes out, is he going to have any confidence at all with the way that they beat him up? That's a good hitting team, but you know what? The Astros did a great job in those first two games against them. They did a great job against a really good, a hot team that came in here. You were cool because you just lost 3 to Cincinnati. You got Seattle who's playing well again, and you got them on your alleged heels. But Justin Verlander, next time he goes out, what is he going to do? The law firm has been awesome, and guys that come over, they got to get him off that four seam and have him start to pitch down in the zone again. He was living up in the zone. He can't live there anymore.
No, he can't, and that's a big part of who he is the high strike zone. You know, being able to change eye level on you, that's a big part of Justin Verlander. And if you can't live up there at the high fastball where, you know, guys foul tip it away or are unable to get around on it, if you're not able to do that, then all of a sudden you've got a big part of who you are taken away. And I mean, the age is the age, and the arm, the wear and the tear is the wear and the tear. There's been plenty of pitchers who have fallen apart at this age or who were out of the game well before this. And this just may be the end for Justin Verlander. It may just be that, you know, it's in a weird way that time off, it was way longer than we expected. Maybe that's a sign of not being able to recover as quickly due to age. But the performance now, since he has come back, his first game was solid. All three of these can't be in the playoff roster games. And this is, you know, you hate seeing the game by Eric Geddy the other day because that, you know, on the heels of Justin pitching like this, you don't want to see any of your pitchers do that. Fromber is on a different level right now. Fromber, you know, and Hunter Brown was good the other day. They just couldn't put any runs through across. But Verlander, unfortunately, is a conversation after the Astros had a decent weekend. Verlander ends up being the conversation, John. And there's nothing good that we can say about this. This is looking more and more like you simply can't put Justin Verlander out there in any capacity. So unless it changes drastically over the next two starts, the Astros are going to have to really start thinking about, okay, what is this going to look like for us now?
Well, and, you know, hopefully, hey, your best three right now are Fromber, Brown, and Kikuchi. And then Eric Geddy after, you know, Eric Geddy was
not,
up
not
there.
Blanco?
Blanco.
I mean, Blanco has been just fine.
He's been great. He had 5 strikeouts the other night.
Yeah, what are we like?
You know what? That's not so bad, though, Lance. You've got a guy that can come in and give you 5 strikeouts in 2 innings?
No, I know. I know some people might say the same thing about Eric Geddy. Eric Geddy needs a good start to make sure we just, like, okay, that was just a one-off.
You know, he could have thrown a stinker every once in a while. I'm not worried.
That's why it just needs to be one and not back-to-back.
He's been so money. He's been so money for this
team.
But
so is Blanco.
Yeah, no, I know. And Verlander's a mess. You're not bringing Verlander in off the bench, that's for sure, out of the bullpen. You're not doing that. This is a tough decision. Again, you're faced with a tough decision that you don't want to lose that locker room because you had that with Abreu, and look at how they turned it around. As soon as Abreu left, look at this team turned it around. Mm-hmm. And Montero, you couldn't keep throwing him out there. And look what happened after Montero left. I mean, you're going to have to make another tough decision. He gives you one. I'll tell you what. You give Verlander 2 more starts. two more starts, and that's it. If he can't turn it around next start, he's got to be out of the rotation. If in two starts he can't turn it around, he's out of the rotation. He's not even on the playoff roster. Not even on the playoff roster. He has got to turn it around, and in a hurry. All right, 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on any of this? You're more than welcome to get in here. I don't know if you know this. I am back in L.A., and I'll tell you, it's really funny here. There's not as much Coors Light here. I don't know what's wrong with this. I know what's wrong with this state. But this is a real problem here. Of all the things with the high taxes and all the other stuff going on over here, a lack of Coors Light is a real problem for me here. Okay, this is probably problem number one. There's a lot of bars that I go to. I'm going to have to go in there and start saying, hey, guys, Coors Light is the only way to go. They got all these foofy beers here. I'm like, wait, I want to keep California cool. We're keeping Texas chill. We need California to be chill. You would think that of all places in the world, they'd want to be chill here. It's what they do, but they don't. And it's really embarrassing if you want to know the truth. Of all the things that California does, not having Coors Light in every bar is probably the worst. The biggest problem that I have with this entire state. So I'm going to get back to Texas as soon as I can, because I know it's going to be cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing there. I know I'm going to keep Texas chill. You keep Texas chill while I'm gone with cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
John and Lance, along with Dell, here with you at 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend? And one sentence is going to come your way. We touched on the Texans, obviously, for a couple of segments. We touched on the Astros. What about you guys got any thoughts on the college football weekend?
No, I thought Texas was dominant against Michigan. Not super surprised about Michigan not being good offensively in Texas. And Texas being good, I mean, as long as Quinn didn't screw that thing up, I thought they had a pretty good chance of winning fairly easily. And Quinn, I thought Quinn Ewers played well. I thought he played well, and he's got some really good talent around him, which is not a knock on Quinn. I mean, there's been plenty of – so did Joe Burrow, so did, you know, Kyler Murray, so did a lot of quarterbacks who have been drafted. But he's got – I mean, Isaiah Bond, Matthew Golden once again scores another touchdown for them. They've got I thought Blue did a good job running the football. I thought Texas looked good on the road. I think Texas is better than Georgia, personally. I think they've got a really good chance of knocking off Georgia, but it's going to be quite a matchup for, you know, for me, draft-wise. You've got the guy who I think is going to be the first pick in Carson Beck, the quarterback for Georgia, and then you've got a quarterback that I think is still trying to figure out where he slots in the NFL, still trying to figure out where Quinn Ewers slots. From a college football standpoint, it's a great showdown with 12-team playoffs. It's not really as relevant as before. So it's just like, okay, cool. If Texas wins the game, then Georgia's like, okay, cool. Georgia lost, but they're still going to make the playoffs. No big deal. And if Texas loses, I think the same thing is probably going to be true. I think Oregon is not nearly as good as people were thinking they were going to be. The second game in a row, they've really struggled. First against Idaho, now against Boise State. They need a field goal at the end of the game to win the game 37-34.
I'm not a big Dylan Gabriel fan. I'm just not.
He's not having much of a – he's not making much of a difference there. Did you – Dell, did you think from a standpoint of what you saw this weekend, were there any teams that stood out and you said, okay, this team's going to be better than I thought they were going to be?
You know, I was surprised by how easily Tennessee handled NC State. Now, NC State, they have a talent disadvantage when it comes to playing Tennessee, but after Grace McCall's awful pick six where they're going in trying to tie the game, Tennessee just ran away with it. And that's a team with Nico Iamaleava at quarterback that he is just simply, well, the rankings will tell you, a better player than Joe Milton. I think he takes them to a different level. So Tennessee, NC State may not be good, but the way they just dispatched them, I got to start paying attention to them a little bit.
They slaughtered them. And I think Josh Heupel is a – John, do you know I saw a stat? Josh Heupel has covered the first half spread in like over 80% of his games at Tennessee.
Really?
Yeah, he did it again in a big way.
Wow, they start fast. And they're finishing more now. That is going to be a team to be reckoned with. Maybe that's the third team to come out of the SEC this year. Maybe that's the team that you're going to have to watch. Well, is it Georgia? Is it Alabama? Is it Texas? I know it's not Oklahoma after what we saw on Saturday. How about the Cougs bounce back? How about the way that the Cougs played?
Man, great job by the Cougs. Fantastic by Willie Fritz and his team. Would have been even better if they could have found a way to score late. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. They weren't able to find any late points. But great job by Fritz and the Cougars to stick in that one and play Oklahoma competitively. That was a really good one as well. Clemson can't bounce back. Blasted Appalachian State. I think we're Kansas State going to win on the road at Tulane.
It was ugly for the Big 12 in that early window. You had Arkansas dominating.
That was
Oki
one
State,
of the
and Tulane was up.
Did you watch Arkansas? Did you see any of Arkansas Oklahoma State?
I don't know how Arkansas tricked that game off.
Almost the whole game.
It was unbelievable how this game got tricked.
Oh my God! How Arkansas doesn't cover is the most ridiculous. 7.5 points. They missed a field goal.
Wait, what about the quarterback for Oklahoma State doing his finger pistols?
Yeah. If the game's over, he's throwing his finger pistols down the field. They back it up. They've got a field goal attempt from a guy.
Because they would have scored a touchdown.
And it would have scored a touchdown. And instead, they kick a field goal and they miss it.
No. They made the field goal there. But then Wetchcott went down the field and also kicked a field goal when their quarterback tried to throw a pass with 2 seconds to go, like not knowing the time and the situation. Had that receiver caught it, the game would have ended, and they would have never gotten a field goal to tie it up. And then they went to overtime, and both teams missed field goals in overtime.
Right, both teams missed field goals in overtime, and it was just the most unbelievable. Then Oklahoma State scores a touchdown and the 2-point conversion, and Arkansas comes up short. I'm thinking it's 7.5. Oh, I can't lose. It's overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
Got to go for two already, quick, in the second overtime.
Yes, you have to go for two. They went for two. They got it. And Arkansas doesn't score. And they led the almost the entire game. And they actually were the better team that day. And they end up losing the game. Holy crap. What a killer for Sam Pittman and that team. Because my buddy Chad's a big Oklahoma State guy, and he goes, man, if Arkansas loses to us, they don't have a chance in the SEC. When has Arkansas had a chance in the SEC ever?
No.
They've been in the SEC since 1993. They have zero titles.
I think Chad was maybe making a statement about Oklahoma State.
Yeah. I mean, well.
Maybe
I
less about Arkansas winning SEC.
Well, he actually was talking. Here, listen. Oklahoma State has a chance. They got a chance in the Big 12. They do. Bauman is in his 19th year as a college quarterback, and he throws some nice passes. He makes some boneheaded plays, but he throws some nice passes. He's not athletic, but
he's a bonehead and he's not athletic. And how old is he? 29 years old.
Yeah, he's 29. Right, and
you do dumb things and you're not athletic and you're old.
And you know what? And they got a chance to win it. They got a chance to win the Big 12.
We have Cam Rising can't make it through games.
No, right?
Utah was rolling. And then they don't score another point because they don't have an option behind him. And he's hurt a finger. Is it a laceration? Is it broken? Kyle Whittingham will never tell you anything. He's like an NFL coach. Because there are no rules when it comes to that in college. So if Cam Rising isn't available, yeah, it opens up some things because we know what he is and what they are when he's on the field. They're the best team in the Big 12 when he plays.
When he plays. And that's always a big if.
Mm-hmm.
And Arizona, hiccup. I mean, it's a mess at Big 12. Big 12, it could go to anybody. Could go to anybody. Who knows what it's going to – Arizona – won their game, but they did not look good doing it.
We got people in the car saying, why are y'all talking about Arizona and not the Texans? Y'all are just wasting time on Arizona.
We are gonna talk about the Texans on the other side. When we play, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? So, 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? You get one sentence to tell us what it is that you learned from this week. It doesn't have to be about sports. It could be about anything. It could be about your family. It could be about your boss. It could be about your wife, whatever it is. What did you learn this weekend, but you get one sentence to do it? 713-780-3776. Right now, I'm talking about Doc Linville. I'm talking about what did I learn this weekend. It's that I still got great hair, if you want to know the truth. I love what Doc Linville did for me. You know, one session might not cover up if you've got a giant bald spot, but it's going to fill it in nicely. And then if there's little spots in you that you need growth, the neo-grafting can take that in and fill it in and make your hair just look fuller and better and more wonderful. And that's how I feel about mine. You'll feel that way about yours, too. You could get the PRP, which is like a fertilizer. Okay? It's not resodding. It's a fertilizer. It stimulates the growth of your hair. And Doc Linville will tell you which is which. Which one is for you? So, listen, if you're somebody who is follically challenged, if you're somebody that needs to get what call Doc Linville, especially if you're younger, don't let this thing go. Take care of it now. It's not going to get any better, my friend. 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Time to run the famous and very popular game show that is called What Did You Learn This Weekend in One Sentence. Dell's going to get some things taken care of right now. We're having a little bit of issues, but Dell's holding it all together for us as John's using a new system now in California. So we're ready to go. I can't see the names up here. It's very small, so I'll let you introduce that one, Dell. What did you learn? And let's keep the one sentence.
All right, let's go with Ocho to start.
Ocho, what's up?
Yeah, I learned that for now, a couple of pacifier touchdown passes is enough to keep Stephon Diggs quiet.
Pacifier touchdown. That was a legit. Those were both legitimate. You had one little speed out that he got, the second touchdown, and the first one, a little inside rub route where they lined him up outside and brought him underneath two routes. Those weren't pacifier touchdowns. That was a man making plays. Who's up next?
Well, let's see what JP has to say.
JP, what'd you learn this weekend?
Good morning. I learned that the Patriots dished out the first upset of the weekend and single-handedly decimated survivor pool leagues all over this great land.
Decimated. If you don't know what a survivor pool is, you literally just have to pick one team to win. It's not point spread or anything. Just pick one team to win. And everyone was picking against the two teams, the Panthers, who got obliterated, and they picked against the New England Patriots. And the Patriots went into Cincinnati, and Cincinnati scored 10 points at home, and New England slaughtered survivor pools. Slaughtered them yesterday with that win. That's a good one, JP. Next up,
we're going to go with Brandon. What'd you learn, Brandon?
What did you learn?
Morning, guys. I learned that Will Levis is not good at throwing the football.
Yeah, he struggles. He struggles. Yeah, he was. Early on he was, John.
Yeah. And Caleb Williams wasn't very good at throwing the football either.
No.
And the Bears' defense is very opportunistic. Along with Jonathan Owens, Mr. Biles got himself a touchdown on a block punt. And then Will Levis, oh my goodness. That was a Deshaun Watson type throw. And
not being good throwing.
I learned that Deshaun Watson just still sucks. And it is so good to not have him as our quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's what I learned this weekend.
Yeah.
That's what I learned.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Speaking of quarterbacks, Ryan Tannehill. What have you
Ryan Tannehill's on the line?
Ryan Tannehill is on the line. I learned this weekend that the Packers have reached out. It's a perfect fit for me. I've been waiting and ready all summer. I wish Jordan Love the best of health in recovery, but the Packers have reached out.
Okay. There's okay. Ryan Tannehill. And Jordan Love was hurt in that Brazilian game, if you didn't know. Jordan Love got hurt. We'll have to see how long that injury is. It's not ACL. It's sprained MCL, I guess. So we'll see what the time frame is on him being out.
Well, thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. We're going to move on to
thanks
Grant.
For telling us that somebody reached out.
Yeah, what have you learned, Grant?
Not only is Bill O'Brien a master of trades, but he's a master of calling plays in college football.
Bill O'Brien and a master of signing kickers. How about his guy, Kyemi Fairbairn? John, you have little faith. You used to slander Kyemi Fairbairn on a regular basis.
Well,
now look
a four-year, $16 million deal
got off cheap.
At that time. They got off cheap?
Would you rather have Dak at $60 million a year or Kyemi Fairbairn with his contract?
Kyemi is just money, bro. Kyemi is awesome. Love me some Kyemi. But signing him at that time to that kind of money, well, maybe Bill O'Brien, you know,
he knew
what?
Something.
That was his best move as a general manager.
Oh, not even close. Re-signing a kicker.
Yeah. No. That was the only general manager move dude ever made that was actually a smart move.
That's it.
So we got to give it up for him.
Congrats.
Congratulations. No. 713-780-3776. What is it that you learned this weekend in one sentence? Let's go. Dell, who's up next?
Well, we don't have Tom, but we do have Tom on a mobile.
Tom on a mobile.
Hey, guys. How we doing? Hey, so I learned when you're scouting chicks at the local high school football game, it's probably best to leave your 1987 letter jacket at home.
Why is Tom catching it? What in the? He's not scouting high school football games.
No, and no.
And he doesn't have a 1987.
It's not. And he doesn't say, hang on.
Oh,
stop it. He doesn't have a 1987 letter jacket that he's bringing to high school games. All right, Tom on a mobile. That's not. There's
Where
no
is
way
Tom?
That's true.
Tom, defend yourself.
713-780.
It's kind of better if he doesn't, to be honest with you.
You'd like it better if he doesn't. What do we got next?
Let's go with, I believe, Justin. What's up, Justin?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I learned that T.Y. Hilton is definitely still a Colt. He's just wearing number 14.
Hmm. Yeah.
Alex Pierce did have some T.Y. in his game yesterday.
How does Alec Pierce get behind Stingley?
I think I called him Alex, didn't I? It's Alec.
Yeah, he's Alec. How did he get behind Stingley?
I don't know.
That's incredible.
They had guys running
Stingley
free a lot, John.
Stingley really wasn't off to a great start.
No,
yesterday.
He wasn't. They had guys running free. Like, they were behind the Texans multiple times.
Lassiter had the penalty. But otherwise, did we hear from Lassiter all day?
No, I like it that way.
No, he had the one penalty where he pulled the jersey. And that was fine with me because he did get beat. But other than that, when you don't hear from a cornerback, that's fine.
I'd rather not hear from a cornerback. Let's get La Raza in here. ¿Qué pasó, La Raza?
Hey, it's Johnny Hollywood Lambs.
Gentlemen,
buenos dias. I'll make it short and sweet, man. I actually learned two things, really. I learned that the Irish really still hate the English, while their hate is real. And a sports track, the top 10 highest paid quarterbacks now have not won a single Super Bowl. So that is ridiculous, gentlemen.
Yep.
Tack, that is. $60 million a year.
$60 million a year.
For a Dak Prescott.
My goodness.
Sleep tight.
How's that taste?
We talked about this before. What are they going to do? They're going to not pay him and then get stuck with who?
I don't know who the first team's going to be to say, all right, we're not doing this.
Trevor Lawrence got his money.
I know.
Everyone gets their money.
Trevor, they had a league. The Dolphins came back and he did nothing in the second half.
Nothing.
Well, yeah.
He is what he is.
He is.
At
I mean,
this
it's.
Point.
Well, what about Etienne's fumble? I mean,
are any quarterbacks any good who are getting paid anymore?
Well, the running back, yeah. We talk about the course of the game, sure, that hurt. But Trevor Lawrence is a non-factor for the most part for that.
He really is. Yeah.
Let's go with Uncle Freddy. What did you learn, Uncle Freddy?
Uncle Freddy!
What's happening? I learned that Caleb Williams was the first round pick quarterback to win a game since David Carr.
In his opening game. Yeah, that can't be right.
Well, CJ didn't win his.
The first
well,
pick, does
the
he
first
mean?
Number one overall pick.
Number one overall. Oh, he meant number one overall pick. He's
number one
be.
Overall, is that possible?
Bryce Young didn't win his last year. Jared Goff didn't start off the year.
Andrew Luck he must didn't not win have his. Won his. I mean, Peyton was before
Peyton
that.
Did, yeah.
And Peyton didn't win anyway his rookie year. No kidding. Caleb Williams was the first since David Carr in 2002 to win his opening game. Wow.
Let's see. Are we sure? That seems almost impossible.
I was on the right side on that game. The Titans should have won that game. I was on the right side of most every game, and I think I lost 9.
How'd you just pat yourself on the back
because
while you still lost?
I was on the right side, Dell. I was on the right side of the Jaguars.
Well, if you took the points.
Yeah.
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 Thank you. In Andrew Luck's first game, he got blown out 41-21.
Hey, Del, we got it, guys. We got to wait. Stop your arguing because we're almost at the top of the hour, and Tom, the actual Tom's on. We got to give Tom a shot, right?
Tom, defend yourself.
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
No, I have no 1987 letter jacket. But what I did learn this weekend is that sometimes a woman will be in the ICU and still connecting with you on Tinder.
What? An ICU? Boy, you must be good, Tom.
Swipe left with your bloody hand.
She's in intensive care.
Intensive care.
Wow.
And he found a match.
Wanting some Tom.
And he found a match.
Wow.
That seems like it's...
Wow.
That seems actually like it'd be hard to... Yeah. I wouldn't connect with that. That's no good, Tom.
No. Well, yeah. You might kill her, Tom.
Wait a minute. What if she's really attractive and she's, I don't know, fainted or whatever, and she's in the ICU? Why not?
ICU for fainting?
I don't know. Dehydration.
She fainted from fentanyl. Okay.
See, look at you. That's ugly.
Hey, Dell, just a minute ago, you had your hands behind your back. Did you see that? Where you put your hands behind your back like that?
I guess I did.
You look like Tyreek Hill.
That wasn't the purpose, but sometimes it's a comfortable position for me to be in. I'm used to it. That's life, right?
I thought that was, yeah, like that. You look like Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill was like, what if I wasn't Tyreek Hill?
Tyreek's the entire thing was, I just don't know what happened. Like, I'm trying to process.
Well, there's a second
for some reason.
Well, there's a second video that popped up of the officer, one of the officers saying, I will break this glass. I guess they instructed him to roll down his window, and he wasn't doing it quick enough. They're like, we will break this glass.
Yeah, one of the officers got put on administrative leave.
Yeah, he kneed him in the
– Probably,
hit
yeah,
him
went,
in the knees
went too far.
In the back.
I'm guessing Tyreek apparently did something that
well,
was –
Well, he got a speeding violation.
I think he must – well, I don't think he was – I got a speeding violation on Saturday going 42 and a 30. I'm
you
guessing
did?
Yeah, it was in
did
Spring
you get,
Branch.
Were you late? Did
it was
have
on
you...
me. I was arguing with Nicole
were
about something.
Were you laying on the ground?
No, I I was very compliant. I was like – I was pissed off because how do you get caught in Spring Branch? You always know that's where those cops are going to get
where
you.
They are.
It's a freaking speed trap, and I just lost focus.
And Dell, you and I would have been laying on the ground with four cops. On
you
top
and
of
I.
You're, well, you yep. heard John. John yep. Didn't John have his lawyer tell him to shut up when he was saying, are you profiling me? He yelled at the cops. Is it because of my tinted windows? Didn't you tell
wait,
that
wait,
story?
Wait, what happened?
Didn't yeah, you, I was and I was driving an Escalade at the time.
Wait, what happened? Hold on, what, Del?
Oh, you don't remember this?
No. What happened?
Tell the story.
I'm driving up 59 from a golf tournament, and I pass one cop, I pass another cop. Third cop pulls me over, driving the same speed. And I'm like,
was
hey.
It speeding?
I was just going a little over the speed limit, that's all. Within the 10-mile, you know what? They don't pick you up, right? 10 miles?
No.
10 miles an hour over?
They do. You got to stay within 5.
No, you got to stay within
5. Yeah, I've gotten
9.
I've
always
before.
Told within 10, you're pretty safe. It all, 10, always depends safe. On the officer.
Well, it depends on where
not
you are,
five,
too.
It's 10.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for years, man. Anyway.
No, try driving 39 and a 30.
I've been driving
for
years.
In Spring Branch. Go ahead.
Dare
you.
No, on a highway.
Yeah.
55, 65. Yeah. You go up to 75.
I've been doing it for
75.
Years, too. You can get away with it on a highway.
You
yes.
can. So he pulls me over, and I'm like, and I got tinted windows. I'm in an Escalade, okay? We drive Escalades. So I go, hey, I just passed two cops, and they didn't pull me over. Why'd you pull me over? Because I got tinted windows. I had my lawyer on the phone. I called my lawyer, put him on the phone. I said, this is the cop. Here's his name. He's pulling me over. He's racially profiling me.
Wait, you did not call you called your lawyer because you were
speeding?
When
I got pulled over, I called my lawyer. I said, listen to this. And he's like, shut up. Hey, stupid.
Oh, my God.
Stop talking.
The entitlement is so terrible for you.
No, I didn't say, hey, you know what? I said, it's racially profiling me. That was not being entitled.
Yes,
I was a victim.
You're fighting. You're arguing with a cop for just getting pulled over.
You think I'm this? You think I'm black? Is that why you pulled me over, man?
That's why you pulled
me over. My tinted windows.
Oh my!
That's what he said. We got two more people. We're way late, but they held. Let's get to Jimmy, and then we'll get the key. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, I learned that if your neighbor asks you to fix his wife's laptop, be prepared to see pictures of her at various angles.
Wow. Wow. On her own laptop. That's interesting.
I thought that would be on his laptop.
I'd like to hear more about this story.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a bizarre.
Where did this story go? Do you guys have any pictures of yourselves on your laptop?
No.
Okay, thank you.
No.
Okay. That must be a woman thing. Who's next, though?
Final one is Keith. Keith, what did you learn?
I learned this weekend that it was Wandale Robinson and not Malik Nabers that led the lowly Giants
in
targets.
Off this. First of all, there were two Keiths on here.
Yeah, it was Ryan
Tannehill.
Because
there's also Ryan Tannehill. Well. And then if you're – okay, I'm just going to say it. If we're going to play the game called What Did You Learn This Weekend, it can't be that Wandale Robinson had more targets than Malik Nabers.
You didn't learn that. You
that's
saw that.
That's not a good
– That's not learning anything.
Good one. No one's in an ICU. No one's speeding. No. Targets for the Giants is not a what did I learn.
You didn't learn. You happen to see some stats. You didn't learn.
That's not what you learned. Maybe Wandale Robinson is more important.
Yeah, that's
than
what
Malik
you might
Nabers.
Have learned.
Yes. Okay, that. But not that. Stop already. Time for me to talk right now about my peeps over at Dream. My guy, Kent Jones. I talked to him this weekend, as a matter of fact. I learned this weekend that brokers are just better. And like 20-some percent of people use a broker. And 20-some percent are the ones that are saving money. 20-some percent are the ones, and especially a local guy, especially a guy who's going to give attention to your issue. He had a 97.5 listener that he saved thousands and thousands of dollars for. And listen, it's a detailed process. You don't know where these fees are coming from with these other guys. He does. And he wants you to shop it. He says, please go to another place and see what they're doing. And he'll tell you the questions to ask them. And they're going to hate him for it because you're going to be asking the right questions. This happened with this one listener. He had said, go. And you know what? I'll tell you the questions to ask. When it was all said and done, he was like $4,000 or $5,000 cheaper. That's real savings in your pocket because Kent Jones' Dream Rate is going to do it right, and he's going to save you money. If you're looking for the best way to get into that new house, and he's going to find a way to do it, go to Dream Rate, okay? It is the best way. You have to have a broker and shop it. Dream Rate, the ultimate mortgage hookup, 713-520-5626, 713-520-LOAN, or 975loans.com.
Dream Rate. 24473, J. Ken Jones, NMLS number 356118, Equal Housing Lender.